The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
XM Channel 80 has KD finally silenced the critics. Ooh, he was going at Perk. Him and Dre going at Perk. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Okay, Josh Allen just got his. $150 million guaranteed, $250-something overall. Should Baker or Lamar be next, or either one of them? First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let me give you some Straight Talk before I even... This is the pre-Straight Talk, okay? Here's the pre-Straight Talk. USA! USA! We got the gold medal count, we got the total medal count, and it came down to the wire for the gold medal count. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Raj, don't give me your thumbs down. Who are you rooting for? China? Get out of here!
Yes, and Russia. Oh. Y'all got lucky. Oh, you wait 3 years from now. We're going to get you back.
See, I knew Raj Groves wasn't your government name. That's a fake made-up name. Now listen to me. I don't know. You're deep cover from some foreign government. That was awesome. And partly it's because, like, if USA men's gold, if USA men don't win gold, what do we win by one in the gold medal count? That's amazing for the United States. And by the way, unlike communist top-down kind of authoritarian regimes where they can, like, identify kids at the earliest age and have government-run programs for them and all that stuff, it's not how it works over here. It's a free country. And we're still beating the whole world in the medal count. Even countries with populations 4 or 5 times as high as ours. I'm very proud of that. Very proud of our athletes. And Kevin Durant and Draymond Green on Team USA were two of them who did it. But they sent a message to the haters. This is on Easy Money Sniper live on Kevin Durant's Instagram. They sent a message to haters right afterwards. And take a listen.
We're grinding for this when we move up the stairs. Everybody who said we were going to take the L, they had some power rankings on.
Kendrick Perkins, you talk a lot of we had a lot of they had some, act like you American.
They had some power rankings out. They had us fourth behind Slovenia.
Like just not our game.
Come on, man. Talking about they catching up to us. Like, are you serious? This skill is unmatched. You dig?
First of all,
shout out to everybody that won this gold. Everybody that chipped in and helped out. We're going to the press conference, but I had to talk my real quick.
There's so much to talk about there. First of all, KD reminds me of Mike Tyson. I forgot which title defense it was. I brought it up with Stephen A. on First Take today, and I remembered it as the Pinklin Thomas title defense. He said it may have been Tyrell Biggs. He may have been right. I forgot. Tyrell Biggs won the super heavyweight gold medal in the Olympics in 84. And they were both good fighters, and Tyson beat the hell out of him. And after one fight, he said, "How dare these fighters challenge me with their primitive skills?" Remember that? Anyone remember that? Ask your uncle about that one. He'll know. And KD was like that. Like, come on, these skills are unmatched. I get it, KD. Pride cometh before the fall, right? Like, Mike started thinking he'd have to prepare for these guys, got knocked out by Buster Douglas in Tokyo, by the way, in Japan. But that's not what happened to Team USA because they had real character. And good for them. KD's an interesting guy. You know, he's a burner account, went from not seeming comfortable in his own skin earlier in his career, kind of like not fake, but like, damn, he can't be who he wants to be. Or maybe he appeared fake at times, but really it's just chafing under this kind of, I'm supposed to act this way. And as he's gotten older and more mature, he's like, to hell with it, I'm just going to be myself. And people, whatever they want to think, they can think. Good for him. He's an authentic dude. He is obviously a lot of passion for basketball and one of the best players who ever lived. But when he's lamenting and or bemoaning the fact that some people picked other teams to win, all right, so let me get this straight, KD. Do you not want credit? Okay, fine. We won't give you any credit. You were supposed to win. Skills unmatched. I disagree with KD. I agree with Perk in the sense that he and Team USA deserve big credit because the world has caught up. Not all the way up. Look, if you look at the roster for Team USA and compare it to the roster of any other team, including Luka's, including anyone's, none of those other rosters would win an NBA championship. Would any of those other rosters make the playoffs in the NBA? I mean, it's pretty easy to make the playoffs. Two-thirds of the teams are still playing after the regular season's over. Would any of them make a playoff run? Any of the international teams? No, not even close. But Team USA would win the championship if that was the roster. They'd win it every year, and they'd win it under seven games every year. So why did people like Perk, why did I feel nervous about this? I favored them to win the gold, but I felt nervous because I noticed when Team USA, when we don't send our A-team, the A-team is would have been, had everyone been healthy and willing to play, the starting five would have been Steph, Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, and KD. Good luck, world. No one would win a game from that team. Doesn't matter how little they prepare. They're too good. We sent our, like, third best version of the team we could have sent, probably. Respect to Drew Holiday and all those guys, but come on. Is Drew Holiday a top three American point guard? No. But he's excellent. But still, we have a much better roster. The reason it's difficult for Team USA is our guys come together last minute because they have more important obligations, like their professional contracts, and they have to throw together a team. These other teams have been together for half a dozen years. And the talent is now such that other teams, Australia, France, whoever, they have probably half a dozen players at either NBA or Euro level, like, you know, talent. Either in major leagues, they call it 4A. Japan is like 4A because you have major league, AAA, AA, single A. But Japan is better than AAA, but not as good as the majors. They call it like 4A. So most of these good international teams got three NBA rotation pieces, sometimes like one NBA star, two NBA players, and maybe three guys who are like 4A players. But they've been playing together as a team. Imagine if you threw together an all-star team, but they had to play a team that was like a 500 NBA team. But the all-star team didn't have time to practice, and the 500 team had been playing for 2 years together, 3 years together. They might beat the all-star team. That's what the Team USA is up against. So if Durant doesn't want any credit for beating a world that is much better than it used to be, that's been playing together these teams forever, and Team USA hasn't, fine, don't take credit, KD, but you can't have it both ways. It can't be like, I want all the credit from this, and these guys are no challenges. If there's no challenge, what credit do you get? Now, I'll say this. I do give them credit. Because I was nervous. I favored them to win, but I was nervous. And look what happened. Team USA has never dropped back-to-back exhibitions. They did this year. Remember early on, before match play started, it was before the games counted, it was back-to-back they lost to Australia and Nigeria. And then once play started, they lost to France. And then to get to France, they had to come back against Australia, and KD had to take over the game. So, yeah, the Olympics showed why people like Perk, and like I was nervous. But because we were nervous, now KD and Dre get the credit. Congratulations, guys, you did something. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. By the way, is KD the player under the most pressure this year? Or we asked that on First Take. Let me put it another way. Is KD the best basketball player in the world now? Has he passed LeBron? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Peyton Manning gave a speech last night at his Hall of Fame induction speech, that people, if you're on social media while you're watching this stuff, and who isn't, everyone was saying the same thing. I had the same thought as I was watching it. As soon as it was over, that's the future NFL commissioner. That's what it sounded like. It sounded like he was using his Hall of Fame speech to kind of launch a campaign for NFL commissioner. Did it not sound that way to anyone else? And let me tell you something. It was Peyton Manning just has command of an audience, certainly. And he hit on good themes, and it was not quite as well written as people are giving it credit for. Like the end part, where he strung together, he like tortured a metaphor and strung together a bunch of football cliches, basically. And everyone's like, oh my God, brilliant. No, I'm not so sure about that. But it was brilliant in the sense that it's the kind of thing you'd want to hear from a commissioner, if that was the point. You know, like, for example, what speech was the most moving? Calvin Johnson gave a nice speech, and he was emotional, but I didn't find it didn't affect me emotionally as a viewer. The one that affected me emotionally was Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson gave a speech that was authentic and full of emotion, starts by thanking his mother, starts by saying, like, I think I'm about to lose a bet because he was getting choked up, and goes into his, to what his mother has done for him. And then one by one, he starts telling people in the audience to stand up. You know, if you were a college teammate of his, if you were this, if you were a pro teammate of his, if you rooted for a team he was on, etc. And he has the whole audience standing up and talks about how everyone's getting into the Hall of Fame. It's not just him. This is a team game, etc. And you could hit those same themes, but not do it not just as eloquently in terms of the way you're articulating the ideas, but the way the emotion is clearly so genuine and matches the kind of level of erudition. It was, a moving speech by Charles Woodson, and that's the one I'm going to remember emotionally, right, for its emotional impact. But that's not really the job of the commissioner, is it? Not that that's what Woodson was trying to do, but it seemed like if this were politics, you would think that this person just used this moment to launch a campaign. That's what it felt like to me. I'm not accusing Peyton Manning of doing that. I'm saying that's what it felt like to me. Like that's someone almost announcing or wanting to create the impression among others that he should be the next commissioner. And I think that's something that's open to Peyton Manning one day. I mean, Goodell obviously is doing a great job. I'm sure the owners, but you know, look at the health of the NFL financially through everything, through COVID, through, you know, social upheaval and unrest. And still the NFL grows and grows and grows. So that's the job of the commissioner, really. And I'm sure the owners are happy with the job Goodell's doing. And it's not like Peyton Manning saying, I want to be commissioner right now or ever. But if he wants to be it in the future, to me, it seems like that's open to him. Listen to Peyton Manning. Here's some clips from his Hall of Fame speech.
The 2021 induction class wants to thank those previous inductees who gave long-winded acceptance speeches, forcing us to have a whopping 6 minutes to recap our football careers. I want to give a special thanks to my old rival, Ray Lewis, for being here tonight. Ray just finished giving his speech that he started in 2018. And speaking of rivals, my good friend Tom Brady is here tonight. By the time he is inducted, in his first year of eligibility in the year 2035, he'll only have time to post his acceptance speech on his Instagram account. Football carved out a place for my favorite quarterback, my hero, my role model, my dad, Archie Manning, to pass on something he loved to me.
Now, if you listen to what he just said, the stuff about his dad was genuinely moving. And that's what we're looking for in these speeches. We want to be moved. You ever sit there and get choked up and you're like, not get choked up, you're almost choked up and you realize as you're watching it, like, I'm trying to get choked up here. Like, I want to feel something. And sometimes you don't get there, right? And other times you realize that you're fighting it back. You're fighting back the tears. And it's because you were in the mood to do that. You know, the chemicals that are released in your brain when you get sentimental or sad are identical to the ones, in certain ways, when you get happy, right? Like, your brain craves that chemical either way. And when you're watching Peyton Manning be inducted, and he gives the line about Ray Lewis, which is genuinely funny and well-delivered. The line about Ray Lewis was funny and well-delivered and true. The line about Tom Brady was okay. Like, you're in the whole audience, the whole would be in the mood to hear Peyton say something funny about Tom Brady, but it was only okay. It was only mediocre in terms of the writing. It was okay writing, not great writing, and it was only okay delivered. Right? It was fine. It wasn't great, but you're in the mood to feel something about that because it's Peyton talking about Tom Brady. Ray Lewis line great. Tom Brady line okay. Kind of obvious. You saw it coming, and only didn't deliver over the top. Played it safe. His stuff with his father is the stuff that and also that whole long-winded thing at the end, a tortured metaphor, cliche-ridden, tortured metaphor at the end that everyone was flipping out about, which is kind of the job of the commissioner, right? Like, play it safe, make everyone feel good about football, torture a metaphor or two. But the stuff that was the best stuff in the speech is when he talked about his dad, a great NFL quarterback. Because he didn't play on great teams, never got to win a championship. But But it's so much of sports. And it's changed, by the way. Mothers and daughters are much more involved now. But when Peyton Manning was growing up, he mentioned his mom. You know, she's great, you know, breaking down a cover two and all that stuff. But for so much of major sports history, it was dads passing it down to their sons, particularly in football. And so when he does that, it's like a slice of Americana writ large when Peyton Manning, this is football royalty, is talking about his dad. Like, why, if you ever read Shakespeare, King Lear, or, you know, whatever, Richard III, whatever it is, why is he writing about kings and queens and princes? And yet it's so relatable, right? Because he's writing about life, important life stuff. Because when the characters are take on added significance and they're written big, it feels more important. And yet in a kind of weird way, it then gets more relatable because we're all the protagonists of our own life story. And so in a perverse kind of way, it helps us identify more when it's not just a son talking about his father, but when it's Peyton Manning, football prince, talking about his father. Many of us can relate to that with our own dads, but it's writ large. It's the Manning family. That was the most, and he felt emotional there. He wasn't just commanding the audience and giving a speech. He wasn't just coming off slick or smart or like a leader or like the next NFL commissioner. He was talking like everyone whose dad had a catch with him in the backyard, who was, you know, and was close to their dad. Pablo in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max? Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay, Max. About the Kevin Durant and Green thing, I feel as though they just wanted some motivation, man, and they got it. Just like the earlier this weekend when I was looking at the Hall of Fame thing, dude said that one of the guys called him 2 weeks before the draft and said that they wasn't looking at it. That's motivation.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, athletes do that all the time. No question. KD and Perk are looking for external motivation and KD and Draymond and found some with Kendrick Perkins. But Kendrick Perkins is just telling you what he thinks. And he wasn't wrong. Look, if I don't know, did Perk not pick them to win? I thought they would win, but I also believed there was actually a non-negligible chance that they wouldn't medal. Meaning, like, I would pick them. I thought they should be the favorites. I mean, they had a better chance to win than anyone else. I would have made them better than 50-50 to win the whole thing. And I would have thought they're overwhelming favorites at least to win a medal. But if someone were to say, hey, there's a chance they might not medal, I would understand why they were saying that. The world has gotten much better, and they've been playing together, these other teams, for so much longer. And the fact that Team USA did win the whole thing, only suffering one loss once play began, but three overall, by the way. I'm giving them the credit that I'm sure they want because they actually did something. This is not 25 years ago where if you threw this team together, no one would stand a chance. Kendrick was making the point that the world has gotten much better and you can't sleep. He was right. You see what I mean? Like, KD and Dre can't get the credit that they're looking for if they also want everyone to just assume they were going to crush everyone. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Let me just play that KD sound for you one more time because people might want to react to that who missed it earlier on. This is what KD had to say on his Instagram, he and Draymond, about the doubters, the haters, Kendrick Perkins among them, right after he won gold.
We grinded for this when we moved up the stairs. Everybody who said we were going to take the L, they had some power rankings on.
Kendrick Perkins, you talk a lot of we had a lot of
they had
act like you American.
They had some power rankings out. They had us fourth behind Slovenia.
Like just not our game.
Come on, man. Talking about they catching up to us. Like, are you serious? This skill is unmatched. You dig? Shout out to everybody that won this gold, everybody that chipped in and helped out. We're going to the press conference, but I had to talk my real quick.
I'll bet you, unlike Raj, Kendrick Perkins is thrilled that the United States won gold. That's
man,
right.
I'll tell you what, man. What's you know that? What started? Drago really beat Rocky. In any athletic commission, they would have stopped that fight. Drago went 2-0 in America, and ever since then, I've been rooting for
Rocky. It's unbelievable. What's going on with you, Raj? Just because Kendrick Perkins is giving you sober analysis, by the way, don't mean he don't want America to win. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Coming up, Josh Allen got paid. Paid! Should Lamar and or Baker be next? Who should be next? According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet pent-up demand for all these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will be needed to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter, of course. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Lamar or Baker next in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Because I'm close to the edge. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right. Josh Allen got his money. See, this is how old school hip hop I am, Raj. To me, in my head, when people are like, who's the greatest rapper ever? When I was a little kid, the answer was Melly Mel. Right? The answer was Melly Mel. And then Run DMC came out and it kind of dated Melly Mel, right? It made him sound old. Then LL came out, and then Run DMC sounded kind of old. And then Rakim came out, and LL sounded kind of a little bit old at the time. You know, like that's still like the universe of hip hop in my mind still starts with like the original GOAT, Melly Mel.
Nice.
That's right. Now, Josh Allen got his money. He got paid $43 million a season. The only guy who gets paid more than him per year is Patrick Mahomes. And it's amazing. Patrick Mahomes is so much better than everyone that everyone just accepts, oh, yeah, you're not going to get more than Mahomes. Yeah, but he's the next guy up. He's a franchise quarterback. Yeah, it's Mahomes. But he's getting 150 guaranteed, Josh Allen. And the thing about Josh Allen is he started his career 5-6 with completing a little over 50% of his passes with about a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Big, strong kid with a big, strong arm, but not a lot to see there early. Next year, he plays a lot more games, so instead of 5-6, he's something like 10-6. So he's doubled the win total, played more games, doubled the win total, but still, obviously, as a winning percentage got a lot better. And now he is completing about, not 50%, around a little over 60% of his passes, or right around 60% of his passes. So 10% better completion, doubled his win total, and his touchdown-interception ratio was 2-to-1 instead of 1-to-1. A little underwater even, 10-to-12, but it's roughly 1-to-1. Next year's roughly 2-to-1. Then the third year comes around. Last year, they go 13-3. He's completing about 70% of his passes. And his touchdown to interception ratio is between 3 and 4-to-1. So basically, he's like, every year, completion percentage goes up 10% or more than 10%, but it goes from 50 to 60 to 70. TD to interception ratio goes more or less from 1-to-1, 2-to-1, 3-to-1. Win totals go from 5 to 10 to 13. This guy is ascending. Now, he has a great team around him, an excellent team around him. He has an excellent head coach, and he has a great receiver with whom he has great rapport. But, and by the way, like, I get it. Patrick Mahomes, partly the reason he looks as great as he does is because he has a great head coach. He has great receivers around him, the whole thing. Where a guy develops is important in his development. You know, the place the culture he's in, the people around him. And Josh Allen's had those advantages. But at a certain point, he benefits from those advantages. It becomes part of who he is. For example, we're not living in a simulation that we're going to do a million times. and say, well, actually, but in all these other universes, Lamar Jackson winds up, or Baker Mayfield or someone else winds up in this situation, and this guy, and Josh Allen's struggling because he wasn't in a good situation. This is the life that we're living. This is the reality. You got one of them, and this is the reality. And the compounding advantages about being in the position that Josh Allen's in makes him better. For example, two kids equally bright. One kid is privileged and gets to go to Harvard. The other is not and winds up at community college. After 4 years, kid who went to Harvard is probably going to be considered smarter. They weren't natively smarter. They didn't have more capacity. But the compounding advantages of going to like a great institution helps that person as opposed to the kid who's just as bright but like doesn't have the same advantages. So after 4 years, like they are who they are. That's Josh Allen right now. It's like he's gone to Harvard, right? Now, Baker and Lamar Jackson are also both in very good positions. But the difference between them, Josh Allen being a big, strong guy with an excellent head coach and Stephon Diggs as his number one receiver. Remember, Baker last year didn't have Odell, and before that, it didn't seem like they got along that well. And Lamar's never had anyone like Diggs. But Josh Allen, a big, strong kid like that who wants to get better, obviously, with a big arm, mobile at his size, not the fastest guy in the world, but mobile at his size, has turned himself into, I'd say, the top quarterback of the next tier. In other words, the elite is Mahomes and Brady and Rodgers. Those three guys are in their own tier. Then after them, I'd say the next guy, well, excuse me, Russell Wilson's also in their tier. Those four guys. And Deshaun Watson might be, but we'll see if he even gets on the field. So after that top tier of Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady and Russell Wilson, I'd say Josh Allen is number one among the next group. Now, and it's not coincidental that he gets paid first. Now, I'll say this. I think Justin Herbert, by the end of this upcoming season, might be ahead of Josh Allen. I think he has more ability naturally than Josh Allen. But at this moment, that's Josh Allen. Got paid. Now, Baker Mayfield, actually, if you look at all the teams, I'd say Baker Mayfield's on the best team. He's on the most talented team. And Lamar Jackson is in the best organization long term. Like, the Ravens are always competitive, and he can do things other guys just can't do. But Lamar Jackson's best attribute are his legs. He has a good arm. And by the way, he's a more accurate quarterback than people realize. But if you have to say, what's the thing that you'll always remember about Lamar Jackson? It's the legs. And Baker Mayfield is not special in any one area. He's a good quarterback. But it's not like, oh my God, did you see that arm? Oh my God, the accuracy. He's not Drew Brees with accuracy or Brett Favre with his arm or Lamar with his legs or someone like that. He's just good in a lot of areas. Not spectacular, but good. So of those three guys, all on good teams, the guy with a huge arm who's gotten better every single year and is in a real good position, the guy with the legs who, has he gotten better every year? Maybe marginally in certain areas. I mean, he's the only one out of the three with an MVP, by the way, Lamar Jackson. Or the guy who's in the best situation maybe, but doesn't have any one thing that jumps out. Who you'd rather have? I think it's tough to make the argument for Baker. I think it's easy to make the argument for Lamar, but I would make the argument for Josh Allen. Traditionally, I mean, and by the way, just because it's never been done before, it doesn't mean Lamar Jackson can't win a Super Bowl playing in a kind of style that no one's won a Super Bowl in. But it hasn't happened yet. He'd be the first to do it. He'd be blazing a trail. But lots of guys have won Super Bowls on teams like the Bills playing the way Josh Allen plays. Who would you pay after Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield? Me, I would pay Lamar. I would not want to pay Baker Mayfield as though he were Patrick Mahomes, or forget Mahomes, someone like Josh Allen. You'd have to pay him. You're going to have to pay him. But you're going to have to price him a little better than that. We're showing the completion percentages on ESPN Plus right now. Josh Allen, 69. Baker Mayfield, 63. Lamar Jackson, 64. Passing yards, Josh Allen, 4,500. Baker, 3,500. Lamar Jackson, 2,700. QBR, Josh Allen, Baker, by the way, Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, really respect, good QBR, 72 and 74, top 10. Josh Allen, 82. Are you telling me that you give Baker or Lamar Jackson Stephon Diggs and they'd be at 82? Meh, I don't think so, but you could make the argument. But if I had to put these three in order, I would say Josh Allen 1, Lamar Jackson 2, Baker Mayfield 3. What about you? 888-SAY-ESPN, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Coming up, the NFC West is the toughest division in football. Can we agree on that or not? Who comes out on top in the division, though, in the NFC West? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
On ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Is there a tougher division than the NFC West? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Who wins the toughest division in football? Ooh, I like that. Hear that? Doesn't that make you feel like football? You know what, Raj? I think we've just stumbled upon something. I think from now on, this is the kind of music that should be played underneath people talking about football. We've innovated again.
We just creating new stuff in radio. So whenever we talk NFL, you want us to play some NFL music behind you?
That's right. And in fact, I don't want to see a lot of other shows adopt this, including the NFL.
Better not steal it.
Better not steal it without crediting this show.
That's right.
Toughest division in football is the NFC West. Any one of these teams could win the division. Yes, including Arizona. Any one of these teams could lose the division. Come in dead last. Yes, including the Rams. Now, how do I see the division shaking out? I have the Rams, Seahawks, Arizona coming in third, and San Francisco last. And let me tell you why I have San Francisco last. It's from the way they've operated in the draft. They traded so much to move up and pick third, and they took Trey Lance, even though Garoppolo's coming back, ostensibly healthy. A lot of us look at the Niners from the outside and we go, oh my God, they were just in the Super Bowl when last healthy. Garoppolo wins three games to every game he loses, you know, including the playoffs. They should be really good with Garoppolo. I think San Francisco has evaluated itself and thought, no, we're not as good as everyone else thinks we are. Maybe we are. So let's see how we go with Garoppolo. But in the event that we're not, we need a quarterback of the future, a more dynamic guy. The Arizona Cardinals are getting slept on. Not only is Kyler Murray a dynamic and improving quarterback, and last year, what were they, a game below 500? But Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins a year ago, they got A.J. Green and J.J. Watt. They got everyone with a J, with initials and a J in their name. A.J., J.J. Like, these guys, you know what's interesting about J.J. Watt? No, he's not what he once was. If he was what he once was, you could never get him. But when you're falling from the heights that J.J. Watt was falling from, like J.J. Watt was in the first tier of greatest defensive players ever. First tier. Like LT, Bruce Smith, Reggie White tier. Right there with those guys. He's falling down to still better than most guys you have on your defense. No, I think Arizona's going to be good. But the Seahawks' defense will improve. They get injured playmakers back on defense. And I think with Russell Wilson, with something to prove, he's trying to work out a contract too, you have your second best team in the division. I believe the best team in the division will be the Rams, even without Cam Akers. The Rams just replaced Jared Goff, with whom they went to a Super Bowl, who made two Pro Bowls. They traded Jared Goff, the number one overall pick, with two other firsts and a third to get Matthew Stafford. Now, Stafford has a more team-friendly deal than Goff. Fewer years left on it for not as much money. Still, that's not the prime reason that they had to trade so much more to get him. It's because Stafford's really talented. He's always been a kind of top 5-6 arm talent guy in the NFL. You know what I liken it to? Think Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is this incredible player and comeback kid under pressure, but his team has never been quite good enough around him. So you don't blame him for not going even deeper into the playoffs, right? That's Stafford. Stafford's Mr. Fourth Quarter. Stafford's all-world arm talent, but he's been in Detroit. Imagine if Damian Lillard went to a team that looked like on paper could win a championship if he could be their best player. Boy, there'd be a lot of pressure on him to win. That's what Stafford's facing right now. I think the Rams are likely to wind up with the best record in the division, followed by Seattle, followed by Arizona, followed by San Francisco. You could turn that on its head, though. That's how close and tough this division is. And then the question will be, like, think of the pressure on Stafford. No one else is facing this in the NFL. All playoff teams are good. First game of the playoffs. Let's say he's favored to win. Let's say in reality it's like a 60-40 shot or even a 70-30 shot that he wins. 30% chance to win? Those kind of odds happen all the time. That upset can happen all the time. A 2-1 shot? What do you think, the underdog never wins? No, 1 out of 3 times he does. If the Rams in their first playoff game are favored and just the other team has a good game, whatever, and Stafford loses, could you imagine what everyone's going to be saying? Oh, maybe it wasn't just Detroit. Maybe he can't win the big one. Like the sky falls if that happens. But if he wins, if Stafford starts advancing in the playoffs and everyone's like, oh my God, this guy is as great as we were saying. It's just that Detroit really was holding him back. All of a sudden, his entire career is seen differently because he put up elite numbers the whole time. Elite. Now, all of a sudden, we talk about the best quarterbacks in football. How often do you mention Stafford? I always say Mahomes, Rodgers, and Brady right now, and Russell Wilson, top tier. Next tier is led by Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and maybe Justin Herbert will be there this year and a couple other guys. Where would Stafford be? If Stafford sets the world, if Stafford wins a Super Bowl, would he be in the first tier? He has that kind of talent. Oh, the stakes are so high for him. Okay, I'm going to get to all your calls coming up. We got another hour to do here. Oh, I'm taking the calls. Who deserves to get paid next, Lamar or Baker? Who would you pay first, Lamar or Baker? Is Josh Allen the best out of that group? Is KD right to be going at his so-called haters? Do they deserve credit for that Olympic win, or were they just supposed to win? And what about the NFC West? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.